Welcome to Inspired Living with Mark and Kim. Every Wednesday, Mark and Kim, along with their special guests, will explore thought-provoking topics and ideas that promote creativity, self-help, healing, happiness, and well-being to inspire you on your spiritual journey. Each week, Mark and Kim will discuss different paths to achieving a more spiritual, balanced, happy, and healthy lifestyle. Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual. Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. Mark and Kim are tested, certified, and professional spiritual mediums, metaphysical teachers, healers, and spiritual advisors with their own individual spiritual practices in Seattle, Washington, and Los Angeles, California. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be in this beautiful planet of ours. This is Inspired Living Radio here on the Om Times Radio Network. I want to just thank you for hanging out with us here for the next hour as we have a very interesting show topic today. How soon is now the handbook for global change? I am your co-host, Mark Lanehart, the Intuitive Prospector, live here in Seattle, Washington. If you want to learn more about the work that I'm doing, please visit marklanehart.com. You can also internet search the Intuitive Prospector. Love to do a little spiritual prospecting for your own spiritual gold. Today, my co-host, Kim Thalken, founder of Love First, is actually on summer vacation and celebrating the summertime with her family. So just want to give her a big shout out, let her know that we're thinking of her and that she has a good time with her family celebrating this nice summer weather. If you want to learn more about the beautiful work Kim is doing, please visit her at lovefirst.info. She is in the Richmond, Virginia area. She has a bi-coastal practice. So between Encino, California and Richmond, Virginia, I'm sure that you'll be able to sync up with Kim. If you want to interact with the live show right now. We are streaming live through the internet. The show can be accessed through any device, anywhere in the world. No username, no password. Just click on the link and come on into Inspired Living Radio. Hang out with us for the next 60 minutes or so, where we have, you know, inspiring, interesting, educational topics. And today's show is going to be no different. I'm excited to talk about how soon is now the handbook for global change, because it's very timely in what's going on with our crazy, fast-paced world of ours. If you want to interact with the show, you can go to any of our social media pages. Our main page is Facebook, Inspired Living Radio. Ask to join the closed community of inspired listeners all around the world. Make sure if you join the page to post a question there, and also click on our interactive map and put a little pin on where you're at in the world so we can see all of our listeners all around the globe. We love that. You can also catch us on Twitter and Instagram under the handle Inspired For Us. That is the number 4, Inspired For Us. Also, Google Plus Communities under Inspired Living Radio with Mark and Kim. If you missed the live show that's streaming right now, don't worry about it. We have encore shows that go throughout the rest of the week. And then the encore shows go over to the podcast form where you can pick them up on YouTube, marklanehart.com, SoundCloud, lovefirst.info, Podbean, or iTunes. We have 3 seasons of Inspired Living Radio, so we have well over 170 plus episodes of Inspired Living Radio with amazing guests and topics. And if you want to hang out with me here in the Pacific Northwest, I do have a Forest Friday hike, spiritual hike, coming up next Friday. Visit marklanehart.com for more information there. And every Monday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time over on the Intuitive Prospector page is the Metaphysical Mocha Mondays, a half-hour show where I interact with you live through Facebook, and we have a lot of fun. And you can also subscribe to my playlist on YouTube. Just look for the Intuitive Prospector. So with that, every show, every month, we have a positive affirmation, and this month's positive affirmation for the month of July is, I have the power to change my story. I choose what I become. I have the power to change my story. I choose what I become. And this month's Inspired Living Radio positive affirmation is sponsored by Prime My Body Affiliate Awareness, from soil to oil, and one of the best absorption rated nano enhanced hemp oils on the market, an all natural plant based supplement with no psychoactive highs and legal in all 50 states. From liquid hemp oil, hemp-infused skin moisturizer, hemp protein superfood, or a simple liver detoxification system, start achieving your health and wellness goals naturally from the leaves and rootstock of this amazing, healing, and ancient plant, hemp. Your health is your wealth. For more information, please visit awareness.primemybody.com. PositiveAffirmations.com, and they are the sponsor for the Positive Affirmation for July. So with that, because time is always up against us, the shows go by so quick, I want to start getting into the topic today. We're going to welcome to Inspired Living Radio for the very first time, Daniel Pinchbeck, to discuss his book, How Soon Is Now. It just recently came out. It's the Handbook for Global Change. So I'm sure we're going to get a lot of great nuggets, some philosophy, some education, some wisdom for this topic. What really caught my mind is Russell Brand. I'm a big follower of Russell Brand, and he said that this was a blueprint for the future. So we had to get this gentleman on the schedule for today's show. But as far as I want to get into a little bit of his background and what he is known for, he is an author, a philosopher, a radical thinker of his time. And I just want to welcome you today to Inspired Living Radio. Daniel, can you hear me okay? And hopefully he's there. Daniel, can you hear me okay? Okay, so Daniel, we can't actually hear you, so I don't know if you're on mute or if you're having headset issues. So let me just read about the blueprint for the future, as Russell Brand talked about. It's for anyone interested in considering how we got into this mess and how we can get out of it. How Soon Is Now, it will not disappoint. Pinchbeck is an important thinker of our time, and his brave and necessary book, that's a quote from Dr. Jason Hickel, LSE Review of Books. So for the last few years, the world has been on the brink of an ecological mega crisis, and our actions over the next few years will determine the global landscapes for years to come. In the last few years alone, we've seen incredible movements arising all around the world, which have been born out of catastrophic catalysts around us, environmental actions, Me Too, Never Again, and more. This is exactly what author, philosopher, and radical thinker Daniel Pinchbeck has been predicting, that our crucial crises now are actually an opportunity for conscious communal change. I love that. CCC, conscious communal change. Daniel is drawing on a huge range of resources and references from economics to Eastern philosophies and religions. Daniel presents a compelling argument for the need for change on a global basis. How Soon Is Now is a manifesto and a tactical plan of action. It proposes a new narrative for our unified social movement. Through global cooperation, we can face this collective threat ecologically, socially, politically, culturally, and most importantly, spiritually, in order not just to survive, but to thrive and expand into a new consciousness. So hopefully we can get Daniel to come through. Daniel, can you hear us okay?
Yep, I can hear you.
There we go. Okay. I was just reading through the bio because it didn't look like we were connecting, or you could hear me, or the audience couldn't hear you. Welcome to Inspired Living Radio. So happy to have you on board.
Oh, yeah. It's great to be here. Thank you.
So let's talk about the book with everything that is going on in the world. When I talked to your PR representative there with the awesome Watkins Publishing, she sent this over to me, and I was like, "Yeah, we've got to get this gentleman on the show because of the timing of everything. It just seems like we're in a very chaotic, fast-paced, anxiety-driven type of environment right now. So tell us about the manifesto and this blueprint that Russell Brand talks about for the future and how it all came together for you.
Sure. I mean, just to go back over the course of my work a little bit, my first book was called Breaking Open the Head. That came out in 2002, and it kind of was a book that followed my own journey. I began as a journalist and a skeptic, materialist, but I had a sort of existential spiritual crisis. I rediscovered psychedelic substances and ended up visiting tribal cultures in West Africa, the Amazon, and Mexico, going through initiation with different tribes and so on. But even with that book, it came out in 2002 and maybe helped sort of begin to change the cultural dialogue around hallucinogens, psychedelics. I was very concerned what was happening ecologically. And one of the big moments in the book for me was going down to the Amazon to work with a tribe that drinks ayahuasca and seeing how their, you know, homeland was being penetrated and kind of despoiled by the oil companies and the, So ever since then, I've been very, very focused on, the impact we're having on the planet. And there's a theme in my second book, 2012, which looked at the prophecies of cultures like the Maya and the Hopi. And it's just becoming more and more something that I really feel that when indigenous cultures talk about the world changes that are upon us, they're really talking about what's happening environmentally. And we're now seeing climate change accelerating. We have global warming, we have species extinction, we have ocean acidification, disappearance of the coral reefs, forest fires around the world. It's not surprising that these things are happening if you understand the ecological situation, but they are happening now quicker than even the predictions of a few years ago. So what I set out to do, starting about 10 years ago, really, the book's been a long process, even though it's not a very long or dense book, was to create kind of an overarching template, kind of like an understanding of what's happening to the Earth, and then also a projection forward of how we can address it as a human community. Because obviously it's bigger than any individual, but through communities, through collective actions, through cooperation, through using new technologies and new social tools, potentially we can create kind of a new operating system for human society that will allow us to focus on what's happening and make the types of changes that are necessary.
Yeah, and I just have to say, Daniel, it sounds like you're sitting under a power line of sort. There's a lot of energy and fuzziness coming through on the line. So I know we're in Mercury retrograde. Technology and connections are always an issue. But I don't know if you can maybe move your location or change your headset because it's really tough to hear you for the interview.
I'll just do it without a headset. How's that?
Oh my gosh, so much better. Yeah, it definitely was your headset then. There we go. Yeah, it literally sounded like you were sitting under one of those power lines outside and with all the energy. So it was definitely the headset. Much, much better, much cleaner, much clearer for the listening audience. As far as, it's interesting because you talk about the pollution. I was just talking about plastic pollution a few weeks ago on our show. And one of the things that really was eye-opening for me as a certified paddy diver, as a master diver, I have dove all over the world. And the one thing that I've seen consistently on every single dive I've done from, here in the Puget Sound down to the Pacific and the Sea of Cortez over to the Mediterranean is every dive I've seen plastic on my dives, a plastic bottle, a plastic bag. And it was very eye-opening and very disturbing at the same time because a lot of studies that you're talking about that are picking up pace as far as our environment goes, some of the studies are showing that if we don't change the way that we're doing things by 2050, there'll be more plastic in the ocean than there are fish. So that's pretty mind-boggling when you think about that. That's a lot of plastic. In your book, when I was reading through the book, one of the things that caught my eye was the evolution of consciousness in the preface that you were talking about through a model called spiral dynamics. I think that'd be a good jumping off point to start with the spiral dynamics, because we're kind of spiraling downward, aren't we, as far as everything that's happening. Everything is picking up and accelerating in that spiral dynamics. But I wanted you to talk about that real quick as far as the evolution of consciousness, because it does start with us. In order to make a change in our world, it does have to start with us.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very, it's sort of a complex model to unpack. So I'm not sure if that's a great place to start, but Ken Wilber is an American Buddhist philosopher, and he's based a lot of his thinking on it.
Oh, Daniel, I don't know if you went on mute. Did we drop? We dropped the line. Okay. So just for the time's sake, we're going to be going to our first break here in just a second. But looks like Daniel was having –
Yeah, I'm back.
There
I'm
he
back
is.
Here. Mercury in retrograde is nipping at our heels here, I think.
It is. It always – I've seen – I've been doing this for three seasons. I know when we're in retrograde, this can be expected. So welcome back. Drop the line there real quick. We can just go into a brief spiral dynamics just for layman terms, just so people kind of get the understanding. We don't have to get in depth because I want to get into more parts of your book.
So the idea is that there's an evolution of consciousness that happens, and it happens as people sort of develop a more encompassing kind of empathic, comprehensive way of looking at the world. So at first, people tend to be focused on their own benefit, or maybe their family, survival, monetary success. then you become more aware of the larger world around you. You maybe have maybe you go to like a national sense of identity, patriotism, and so on. And then there's a shift to more like an awareness that we're all interconnected, that we're all the same species, that we're all part of the same planet, and that gives you a more encompassing worldview. So, I mean, there are many ways to talk about this. I mean, you know, there's I'm reading a book right now by Jonathan Haidt called The Righteous Brain, and he looks at how we make moral decisions and how conservatives and progressives, you know, their brains function a bit differently. But, you know, we can see what's happening in the world right now kind of as a result of all of these pressures that are gathering. It's forcing a lot of people into a more regressive worldview. The chaos and confusion is too much for them. They're trying to grab onto something simplistic, like a strong leader, or, you know, demonizing a group like immigrants or refugees or something. And, you know, that's kind of a natural, you know, kind of a response to be expected in a time of turbulence and transition. But we are going to have to get beyond that because, the problems that have been unleashed by industrial civilization are on a planetary scale, and they really are going to require new forms of collaboration, new technical and social support systems for us to handle them.
Yeah, and I'd say new ways of thinking as well. So we're going to go to our first break here. But when we come back from the break here in 2 minutes, want to get into the introduction because you got Russell Brand to actually write your introduction, which I think is pretty cool. I follow him, and I like a lot of the work that he's doing. But stick around. This is going to be a two-minute break, and then we'll come back with our very special guest today, Daniel Pinchbeck, to discuss his new book, How Soon Is Now? The Handbook for Global Change. This is Inspired Living Radio. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Are you seeking answers to life questions? Would you like to connect to a departed loved one? Are you suffering from pain, stress, or anxiety? Kimberly Thalkin is a tested, certified, and professional psychic, spiritual medium, energy healer, hypnotherapist, and the founder of Love First, where life transformations happen. Love First services support, guide, and empower individuals by connecting them to their highest potential to live a healthier, joyful, and meaningful life that's filled with purpose. All services can be done by phone, Skype, or in person in Encino, California. Please visit lovefirst.info. That's LOVEFIRST.info for more information.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance, Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
I am Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called the Bukavu in the Congo. We were a loving family. And then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day. People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything. I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at EmbraceRefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Thank you. And welcome back to Inspired Living Radio with Mark and Kim. Today, our very special guest, philosopher, radical thinker, and author Daniel Pinchbeck, with his new book, How Soon Is Now? The Handbook for Global Change. So, Daniel, thanks for hanging out with us during that quick two-minute break, and we're back. Let's get in the introduction of the book, because it was very what caught my attention was Russell Brand and his connection to you after the documentary 2012, Time for Change. And he actually reached out to you. That was it. How surprising was that?
I mean, that's happened to me a bunch of times, actually. I mean, my work seems to appeal to musicians, public artists, even sometimes people from very wealthy, like multi-generational family backgrounds. I think in a way, because my work is sort of a comprehensive system worldview kind of approach, a lot of people who are just, you know, in the trenches of like 9-to-5 jobs or whatever don't necessarily have, you know, as much time and patience to kind of think about these types of big issues. But maybe people who have freed themselves from a lot of daily strictures, you know, if they're thoughtful people, or they have more time to reflect on kind of the underlying, you know, kind of pattern of the world and of events and the meaning of life and so on. And so some of them get excited about my work, and Russell was one of those. So, yeah, it was really nice that he was up for contributing an introduction.
Yeah, that's really cool. So it's just been fun to watch him change from being an actor and doing the work of, you know, I loved him in Forgetting Sarah Marshall. That's one of my favorite movies. And then to move into more of the spiritual consciousness alignment of his platform and his work. And I just thought it was very cool that he reached out to you and connected those dots, because he with your work and what you're doing, he's also, with yourself, have come to understand that we all first need something like a revolution of consciousness and a profound transformation of our social systems. So your first chapter in the book, as far as you know, planetary, let's see what do you actually call it, burning down the house is the first chapter. So I thought it'd be good to start there to kind of get into, you know, burning down the house and what that would actually mean as people are opening up this planetary initiation, if you will.
The book starts with an anecdote. I was at the Burning Man Festival back in 2005 when Hurricane Katrina happened. And there were kind of riots spreading across the U.S. and 30,000 people were being held in the New Orleans Superdome. And, you know, Burning Man, people were just partying and dancing and reveling and so on. And I just began to feel that, you know, it wasn't enough that I was friends with all these people in these kind of elite subcultures who were, you know, having these great adventures and creating these great lives for themselves and exploring, you know, consciousness and kind of certain types of spirituality and so on, mysticism. But I wanted to kind of alert them to the fact that, you know, if we are the more conscious people on the planet, then we should become more conscious of our responsibility for the whole. And, you know, unfortunately, the modern, you know, the American and European lifestyle, you know, that developed over the last centuries, you know, we've consumed a lot of the, you know, resources and fossil fuel. And so you could say that we really are kind of at this point, we have to accept responsibility for, you know, some of the problems that have happened. I mean, the fact that, like, you know, countries like Bangladesh, which is 170 million people just living a few meters above sea level, if the oceans rise even, you know, a few feet, which is projected to happen over the next decades, you know, they're going to become refugees also. They're not going to be able, they're not going to have, you know, fresh water to farm with. Yeah. So in a way, but, you know, they were living subsistence level, you know, below the ecological footprint, whereas we've gotten to really enjoy the resources of the planet and continue to do so in a very lavish way. So, yeah, I think that, you know, kind of part, one of the points of the book was kind of to put out a call to, you know, people who are in some of these kind of elite strata who call themselves, you know, more conscious, to examine, you know, their own behavior and how they're using their gifts and their talents, and see if maybe we could really think about, you know, what would be the path to create a sustainable and even, you know, kind of flourishing world for everybody, because we do have that potential as technology evolves, as automation evolves, we can relieve people of drudgery jobs. We could give people more opportunity to be free from work. You know, all these incredible positive things are possible once we've dealt with this unfortunate reality that we've unleashed a very dangerous ecological crisis on the world.
Yeah, and you make a good point, and the key word there, we have the potential. You know, free will and choice is always our greatest power, is why we're here. And we have the potential as Homo sapiens, which the word implies wisdom, right? And if we're Homo sapiens and we're supposed to be wise and all-knowing. But sometimes you wonder just how wise we're not being, because we're killing the one place that we live. And, you know, everything is, you know, from environmental, social, political. And I think that's why it was important to get you on the show today, because that's what Inspire Living Radio is all about. We like to say you are the inspired and the inspiration, and we want to have people on the show that can help inspire people, help educate people, bring awareness. Awareness is the greatest agent for change. Eckhart Tolle talked about that a lot. And if people want to pick up your book, if people want to reach out to you, like a Russell Brand or a Mark Lanehart from Inspired Living Radio that want to get in touch with you, what is the best way to do that?
They can find me on Facebook, or there's a website for the book, howsoonisnow.info. They can email me there. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. It's, you know, I'm a normal citizen of the, you know, digital sphere, so people can definitely reach out to me in all those different ways.
Okay. And as far as, is the book being carried like on online distribution, or just through Watkins Publishing only? Like Amazon,
no,
Barnes & Noble?
Of course. It's on Amazon, okay. Barnes & Noble. It's at bookstores. You know, there's an audiobook coming soon, I hope.
Oh, very cool. Okay. Yeah, that's just for our inspired listeners in case they want to get on the internet and get the audiobook, get the digital book, get the hard copy book sent to their house. So it's good stuff. How Soon Is Now, the handbook, which it is. It's a handbook. It's broken down really nice for global change. So as we continue into the chapters, one of the things that I really enjoyed reading was you talk about the brain as far as the crucial impact on how our brains function. And I thought for the show it would be interesting to talk about. So now we're kind of burning down the house. We're getting into how the brain functions, the amazing capabilities of the brain as our supercomputer, as I like to call it, the ability to rewire, the ability to open up new pathways. I learned a lot about the brain, actually, Daniel, in my own journey with my brother who passed away from brain cancer. But before he passed, he did two studies in brain mapping, just fascinating stuff. It was interesting because he look like something out of Star Trek, like the Borg with all these wires coming out of his head. But they learned so much on brain mapping and so much that we still don't understand about the brain. But in your book, in one of the chapters, you talk about the prefrontal cortex and how our brain functions. So I think for the inspired listeners, I think they'd get some, you know, gold nuggets out of that as far as just talking about how our brain works and how we can change based on our own way of thinking.
Yeah, well, I mean, so one of the big ideas in the book is and it's been a feature in my other books also, like what I mentioned about shamanism breaking open the head in 2012, is, you know, really thinking about initiations. And, you know, if you go to any traditional indigenous culture or ancient cultures, they always have rites of passage, initiations. And these are rituals that are not just cultural, they're more than that. They have a very profound importance for those societies. And one theory was developed by a few different thinkers, one of them is this guy Joseph Chilton Pierce, who wrote a book called The Biology of Transcendence, is that what happens during initiations is you go on a Sundance, you fast, you want to walk about, you take ayahuasca, you take peyote, you sit in a cave for a week, you know, you're forced into an extreme situation that pushes you into a state of altered consciousness, let's say a transpersonal state of consciousness. And what that does is it breaks the kind of persistent illusion of your egoic identity. And you know, modern society on the whole has gotten rid of these kind of initiations or rites of passage. It's not like when you're a teenager, you're expected to, you know, go through some process with elders from the tribe and the community who look after you and who make sure that you integrate these profound messages about the nature of spiritual reality and so on. So so one theory that Pierce and others put forth is that this may have a neurobiological function, that the prefrontal cortex or the neocortex is a part of our brain that developed most recently, which gives us our sense of individual ego identity and allows us to use language and process abstract symbols and plan for the future and so on. But by doing that, it also separates us or isolates us from just being the sense of being connected to the world around us, to the collective and so on. And so initiations would be those tools to break through that illusion of separation. And once you've had that experience, once you've been initiated, it's not like you have to always do that all the time, but at least you have a reference point in your consciousness for, you know, a more expanded sense of identity, less egoic sense of identity. So the fact that modern society did away with initiations means that, you know, one thing that happens is that people struggle to do them on their own through meditation or going to shamanic retreats or something. But also, because it's a very innate human thing to seek initiation, if it's not going to happen consciously through ceremony, through ritual that has a purpose, it may happen unconsciously through epochs of destruction. So some like a German philosopher, Walter Benjamin, believes that the First World War and the Second World War were like unconscious attempts to connect with the cosmic forces, to go through initiations. And yeah, so that can happen destructively. So one of the ideas of the book is that in our relationship to the ecological situation, we've kind of created that dynamic where we've created a huge, potentially catastrophic situation as a way of waking ourselves up, as a way of pushing ourselves to undergo this type of initiation or rite of passage, not just individually, but even as a whole species, as a collective. But the thing is that, it's much more preferable, it'd be much better for people to do that initiation on their own and then be able to confront what's happening rather than confronting it unconsciously as a time of destruction.
Yeah, very much so. And there was one part of the book that actually caught my attention because, you know, a lot of the work I do stems from near-death experience. I've not only had one, but I've had two near-death experience. And it's right in line with what you're talking about, the rituals, trying things like peyote or ayahuasca or DMT, which is also interesting that we can talk about because that's also making it's making more headlines as far as using psychedelics to help treat mental disorder, to help with the brain injuries. So it's very interesting. But in the book, you said that this often happens, for instance, in near-death experiences, which can permanently change how the survivor sees the world. The visionary or the non-ordinary state that brings a sense of unity with the cosmos or awareness of the multi-dimensions of the psyche may be fleeting. Even so, such non-ordinary states of consciousness can provide a stable reference point like an anchor, particularly with the society recognizes their importance and value. When I read that, that really hit home with me because I wouldn't be talking to you today. I wouldn't be on the radio show. I wouldn't be doing the spiritual work that I do without my near-death experiences because it really was a spiritual paradigm shift where it was hard for me to see the world the way I saw it now after my near-death experience. So, you know, I know a part of that is the rewiring of my own brain in that prefrontal cortex and opening that up a little bit more and the work I do as a medium and just understanding the science and the bridge to spiritualism and the conscious state in thoughts. But I just that really resonated when I read that. I was like, oh, wow, that's pretty cool stuff. I could talk about this for hours.
Yeah, no, it's really important. Yeah.
So let's get into let's continue right along. We'll have our second break here in about 3 minutes or so. But in the book, you talk about some of the global rebooting that needs to take place, to spark that revolution, if you will. Now, I know that you had mentioned Burning Man. Just for our inspired listeners who may not, and I just learned what Burning Man was about a month ago, actually. What is Burning Man? Because I know that's where you started with your first chapter. But for our inspired listeners all around the world, they may not actually know what Burning Man is or what that reference is.
It's an annual festival, an arts festival in the desert of Nevada that's grown from a small thing over the last like 20 years to now 80,000 people go, and they build these huge art projects and there's a lot of ceremony and ritual, and then things are sort of burned down, released at the end. They have some core principles So it's kind of like a new culture when you go there, because they have like one of the principles is leave no trace. You can't leave any garbage. Mm-hmm. You have to take everything out. Another one is, you know, nobody is a observer. Everybody's a participant. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a beautiful event that really changes a lot of people's worldview. Makes them see that you could have. Oh, they don't use money at the festival. That's very important. It's a gift economy. So people make presents to give to each other. So it really gives you a sense society could actually function in a much more creative way than it does now. So it breaks a lot of people out of their boxes in terms of how they think of the world.
Yeah, so when I first heard about it, it was actually very fascinating to me. I didn't know much about it, but yeah, the different booths and no money and leave no footprint. And I know some very famous people actually have some booths there as well, from what I've been told. I don't know, I've never been there. You'd probably be able to educate me on that. But just, you know, for our Inspired listeners, if you want to check out the Burning Man, it might be something that they might want to participate. But I was just thinking about that as I was looking through the book. So let's talk about some hard limits and what you mean by hard limits, and what are some of our earth changes, and what are some of our limits that we may come up against as we get ready to go to our second and last break. So if you hear some music, we'll pick it up on the back 2 minutes after the break is over. But I wanted to get into some perfect timing. There you go. So we'll pick this back up here in 2 minutes, continue this very inspiring, important conversation with our special guest today, philosopher, radical thinker, and author Daniel Pinchbeck, on his book, How Soon Is Now? The Handbook for Global Change. We'll be back in 2.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Have you wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
One planet, 7.3 billion people, only one you. Life offers us many opportunities and learning experiences. Are you ready to explore and discover this beautiful planet, the life and energy all around us, the spiritual world, and what is unseen, along with your own personal soul adventure? Mark Lanehart, the intuitive prospector, is the spiritual connection you have been prospecting for. Internationally known as a tested and professional clairvoyant medium and spiritual advisor, Mark's work as a metaphysical teacher, medical instructor, radio show host, inspirational writer, and hiking guide are here to help you on a journey of self-discovery, healing, inspiration, education, and a whole lot of spiritual awesomeness. Dare to dream. Dare to explore. Dare to live. For more information on Mark's spiritual practice in Seattle, Washington, please visit marklanehart.com or internet search The Intuitive Prospector.
Tune in to The Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World, with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
America's service members and veterans are strong, forged out of bravery, sacrifice, and duty. Sometimes reaching out for help can be the most challenging and worthwhile mission of all. When you recognize something isn't right, make the call to the Veterans Crisis Line or Military Crisis Line. Dial 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
Welcome Welcome back, Inspired listeners. This is Inspired Living Radio here on the Om Times Radio Network. I am your host, Mark Lanehart, the Intuitive Prospector, broadcasting live here in Seattle, Washington, with our very special guest today, philosopher, radical thinker, and author Daniel Pinchbeck, discussing his book, How Soon Is Now? The Handbook for Global Change. So we went right into the commercial break there. We were talking about some changes that we need to make, some limits that we're up against. But there's one piece, Daniel, I wanted to read out of the book, which really caught my eye. It says, let's be brutally honest with ourselves. As we can continue as we are now and watch our planet burn out, or we can change ourselves to change the world, something I totally believe in because it does start with us. If we prefer the second option, we must commit ourselves to a necessary task, a redemptive spiritual mission. I thought that was really well said and really caught my attention. So let's pick it up. Let's talk about that. What is our spiritual mission, and what are some of the limits that we're going to be up against?
Yeah, you were asking me before the break about the limits. And, you know, it's, of course, it gets a little heavy and depressing. And I guess that's been one reason why I think it's been hard to get the book out into the public sphere, because
sure.
People intuitively flinch away from confronting what's happening ecologically, which is actually part of the problem. You can't really
right.
deal with a problem while you're deflecting it all the time.
Yeah.
I notice I have all these millennial friends, some of them have a lot of following on social media, you know, and they never really, you know, very, very rarely do they mention what's happening on the planet. So for instance, you know, we're losing estimated around 100 species per day are going extinct, 8.2 million species estimated to be totally on the planet. So if you do the math, it means that we're losing about 10% of the remaining biodiversity every 10 to 15 years. And obviously that can't go on for too long because the whole web of life on the planet is meshed together very tightly. We're 1 degree Celsius warmer than we were pre-industrial times, when the amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere was 275 parts per million. We're now over 400 parts per million in the atmosphere. We're putting about 1 million tons of CO2 into the atmosphere every hour. And the atmosphere is a fairly narrow sheet. So, you know, a lot of people have been kind of their views have been a little bit distorted or confused by anti-climate change propaganda, which comes in many, many different forms from the left and from the right. And one thing that I think that they need to realize is there's been a huge effort on the part of the fossil fuel industry, which is the largest industry on the planet, to create that confusion and sow that unclarity in people's minds. When actually, you know, none of the most reputable scientists seem to really doubt this anymore, or very few of them anyway. And it makes a great deal of sense when you just spend a little time thinking about it logically. Now, we know that because of the Earth is largely covered by oceans, and the oceans are absorbing a lot of that CO2. So they're absorbing like 60% of the CO2 or something, or they have been. But at a certain point, they reach saturation, and they start to release CO2, which is another problem. The CO2 is leading to ocean acidification. So the whole body of the oceans are now 30% more acidic than they were 40 years ago. And that's causing things mm-hmm. like the breakdown of the coral reefs, which mm-hmm. are considered in current trajectory will all be gone by 2060. The biggest oh, wow. concern that a lot of climate scientists have is that we're above 1 degrees temperature above pre-industrial levels now. By 2050, we could be 2 degrees higher, and that may be the point of no return in terms of actually being able to maintain a civilization, a complex civilization like the one that we have now. You know, we're already seeing massive forest fires, massive droughts, melting of the glaciers. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of these processes are going to be, we probably not going to, even if we all woke up tomorrow and started to, you know, work together to create a renewable energy infrastructure, small-scale or generative farming, you know, with a lot of technological leaps from where we are now, we're probably not going to be able to avert a lot of catastrophe, whether it's coastal flooding or the disappearance of the glaciers in the Himalayas that, you know, are like, 800 million people or something, you know, rely on that water. So the turbulence that we're seeing in the world, we have to realize, is only going to get worse, unless we really, really redesign our social systems so that they're much more fluid, much more flexible, much more adaptable You know, and even then, there's going to be a lot of stresses on the system. You know, so I could go on, but that's a few of the important bits of information that people really need to kind of process. If we're going to avert going 2 degrees above pre-industrial warming levels by 2050, we need to radically reduce the amount of CO2 that we're emitting. And also, mm-hmm. we need to sequester a lot of the CO2 from the air back into the earth. And these things are doable. They just require a massive effort that we're not, that we're almost like on the opposite side of the street from right now. You know, and we know that when humans decide to address a problem, particularly now with our incredibly powerful technologies and communications tools, we can do a lot very, very quickly. So, for instance, Second World War, after Pearl Harbor, the U.S. in 3 months transitioned all its factories to wartime production, stopped mm-hmm. making personal cars. They started to tax the wealthy members of the society at more than 90%. And they mm-hmm. took all of those resources and put them into the war effort, which everybody agreed was the necessary thing to do. That's kind of the exact situation we're in right now when it comes to what's happening to the global environment. And that's the kind of initiative that we would need. So it's radically different than what we're getting with, like, the Trump administration here, or really almost any country in the world, you know, is you know, not pushing in the way that would have to. And, you know, one problem, I think, is that, you know, we've become, in the West particularly, we're very, very addicted to our luxuries and our comforts and, mm-hmm. and certain kinds of freedom.
Yeah.
So, for instance, the freedom to travel, the freedom to eat whatever you want to eat, you know, the freedom to buy a new smartphone or a new computer. You know, it would seem very, very tyrannical and dictatorial for, you know, some group or some top-down organization to say, well, you know, you actually can't do that anymore. You know, you're going to have for a while, you're not going to be able to get new gadgets or eat meat, perhaps, or have as many children as you might want. You know, we're in a situation where we have to figure out how we limit our activities as a species, and we're going to have to do that hopefully voluntarily, or we're just going to see more and more catastrophic things happen. But if we're mm-hmm. able to limit our activities voluntarily, we could, you know, do a lot. You know, then there's this other interesting perspective, which is that actually when human communities come together to make changes, it, even when they're difficult, it often has very positive psychological benefits. There's a very cool book by this woman, Rebecca Solnit, called Paradise Built in Hell. And she went around the world to places that had huge disasters years after. And she found that in a lot of cases, people remembered the time of crisis as the best and most meaningful time in their lives, because it was the time when people came together and worked together, and they dropped their ego, they dropped their sense of self-importance. So in a weird way, collective experiences of crisis or disaster can truly humanize us and make us empathic and caring for one another. So that's kind of, as I said, that's kind of the situation we're in. And, you know, there the book looks at it in these different areas that we need to address on a meta level. One area is the technical support systems, like industry, farming, energy production. One is the social systems, the economic system, the political system. Then the third area, as you mentioned before, is consciousness, you know, which you know, creates values and beliefs, which lead to behavior patterns, expectations, and habits. So I think it's those three areas. It's the easiest way to look at the problem is we have to address all of them, you know, almost simultaneously. And in a way, the technical part is the easiest part. We know, for instance, if we shift from industrial farming to regenerative forms of agriculture, like permaculture and organic and so on, those actually, or no-till farming, that actually begins to restore CO2 from the atmosphere and bring it down to the soil, which is good because our soil is actually depleted right now because of industrial farming. Similarly, with energy, we know exactly what we need to do. We need to transition rapidly to renewable energy, which should be like a full-court press. Like, you know, and it saddens me because I live in New York City and I see all these skyscrapers going up And it's totally, you know, there's still more fossil fuel being burned. They're based on fossil fuel. You know, the energy and the productive capacity that we still have, we really need to marshal it for this transition. You know, I don't know exactly how this happens. Nobody does. I mean, I think we need a prototype. I mean, I really – one of the thinkers who really fascinates me that I write a lot about in the book and in my other work is Buckminster Fuller, who is a design scientist. He wrote these incredible books, Operation Spaceship Earth, Utopia and Oblivion. And, he really – he, for instance, noted that you don't you can't defeat – an old system by fighting against it. You defeat it by building the new system that's so amazing and makes the old system obsolete. So I'm looking at, you know, technologies like, you know, the blockchain technologies, mm-hmm. which Bitcoin is built on. Bitcoin, you know, is an interesting phenomenon in itself. Now have a value exchange, a way of exchanging value that doesn't require the mediation of central banks or governments. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. more interesting is now Bitcoin is built on a distributed, transparent ledger system called blockchain. And now there are many efforts to build new things on the blockchain. There's a group called Ethereum, which have they're using the blockchain to create kind of a distributed, decentralized supercomputer. And mm-hmm. What the first kind of internet revolution did for communication, so that now we're all able to express ourselves through Instagram or blogging or Facebook. We can directly, you know, communicate our ideas to our community in a way that was never possible before. This next threshold of the internet is going to do the same thing for shared agreements, because ultimately, mm-hmm. Financial systems, money systems, governments, these are just ways that humans make agreements together. They're based on social trust and social relationships. And now we have a technological infrastructure that will allow us to try and adapt new ways of making agreements together, and it could be very, very profound.
Yeah, it's a lot going on. 100, I think you said 100 species a day going extinct. I believe that the wildfires in California now are the largest in record. And there's a lot of the scientists would agree that the Earth is changing. And at what point do we get to this tipping point where we create, like you were saying, the industrial war complex, the industry where you actually change? Do we need an industrial Earth complex where we actually come together and change? And in the last part of your book, you talk about what do we do now, and I loved your reference to how we tell the same story over and over in films like The Matrix, Star Wars, which I'm a huge Star Wars nerd, Harry Potter, the X-Men, and Avatar. The heroes must be initiated, trained at a kind of school to master their psychic powers. What can we do for the inspired listeners just with the last 5 minutes? Because I want to end this on a very upbeat, inspired note that people can, take away and start to make changes within their own lives. What do we do now? Do we have to wait for the tragedy to happen? Do we have to wait for that tipping point to where the Earth becomes a hothouse that it's no longer sustainable? Or what can we do to make that change in using this handbook for global change?
Sure. There's many, many things, and I can't really be prescriptive because everybody is so different. But I think it's very important that people educate themselves. And because the media is really not helping us gain systems level understanding of what's
going on. Especially
when
you have the fake news, it's hard to know what to trust and who to trust because you got two different news, fake news. Yeah, the confusion with that.
There are media sources like the New York Times or CNN. It's not like they're perfect, but they do. I mean, I've written for the New York Times. They have a heavy duty research and fact checking. They are more dependable.
Right. Facts matter.
So people can become more sustainable, more self-sufficient. They can create community groups who come together to aggregate their power as a community. They can experiment with local currencies, local food systems, solar power, microgrids that feed energy back to the grid and actually make the money. They can, do all kinds of things like that. They can remove some of their financial weight from the system by putting it into enterprises on the blockchain that they feel are going to have a positive effect. They can stop using a lot of processed foods and psychopharma, the tools of the pharmaceutical companies and so on. They can go more holistic. I think building communities and building networks of communities is going to be a critical piece of it.
Yeah, that's all important stuff and all things that we can do starting with us. So, Daniel, I just want to say thank you for hanging out with me this last hour. The show goes by so quick. but thank you for connecting with our inspired listeners all around the world. If you want to check out Daniel Pinchbeck's new book, How Soon Is Now? The Handbook for Global Change, you can get that on the major sites. You can visit him. Just do an internet search for How Soon Is Now? You can get a hold of him through all of the social media out places and also watkinspublishing.com. Daniel, it's been a pleasure talking with you and sharing your compelling argument for the need for change on a global basis. We appreciate it. That's why we bring people onto our show, because we like to say that you are the inspired in the inspiration. And thank you so much for just hanging out with us and sharing your knowledge and philosophy and wisdom with us today.
Cool, man. Thanks for having me.
All right. Hope to have you back. Maybe a part two later in 2019. I'd love to continue this conversation. So thanks again to our special guest today, Daniel Pinchbeck, How Soon Is Now? The Handbook for Global Change. This has been another episode of Inspired Living Radio with Mark and Kim here on Ohm Times. Have a fantastic week. We'll see you next Wisdom Wednesday. Until then, our next soul adventure, be kind, be caring, be compassionate. Namaste.